Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted.
Hello, good morning, welcome everybody, good afternoon. So today we are in our study month and our last call in this year 2018. So I don't have a particular agenda today. We can kind of go a little bit into, go over whatever we've done in the last 4 months, or particular the power module, and or anything else that might be in context to the gift call that I brought up a week ago. And maybe before we start, let's just come here into that alignment, into that truth that you are. And just allowing yourself to drop out of the mind. Just knowing that the sensations of the body and inside, and the sensation all around you, the sounds inside, the sounds all around you, all of that is happening in a sort of a seamless experience. There is no difference. Excuse me. And we're just allowing everything to be without borders, the inside and the outside. Only the mind creates the here and there, the quiet and the busy. So right now we're not concerned about that. We know we're in our cores, in the core and the one core. And we're just going to allow consciousness to settle wherever it wants to settle, beyond whatever you can track, or in the head area, or it might be somewhere in the center of your body, or in the lower abdominal part of your core. Maybe none of that interests you, and you're very already expanded and just that. So, if we look at the four first modules, and we sort of summarize for a moment what is relevant, then we can basically go forward a little bit better. When we sort of engage deeply into some material, and we're engaged with it, then we also forget often on the greater perspective, what matters. I understand that still some of you don't have, I know small amount of people, but don't have a regular meditation practice or just don't do it, and are very caught up in life, and many of you don't exercise, and or just, you know, do things that kind of sort of are your way. And in a world of individualism, that's all very great. And but there are some things that are just necessary if you want to, you know, experience, be that, and achieve, you know, that which is your goal. If you want to learn how to do calculus, if you don't immerse yourself in math in the proper way and sit down with it, then it won't happen. So, in the next module, we'll be talking about healing and the context of healing with enlightenment. And but if we just kind of go back to really that you are here to realize yourself as consciousness, as pure consciousness, without the coloration, without the attachments, the imprints, the confusions of the millions of infinite things that the mind brings up or can name. Then you have to give yourself time to really sit and just practice that very difficult sometimes still very difficult to sit and just have that sort of busy mind, knowing that the busy mind is you. You are busy with life. It's still your priority. You haven't really surrendered into yourself. You haven't let go. You have still agendas. You still want to achieve something, and the more you want that, the more agitated the mind gets. It causes this rajas, this movement. I also would like to underline again that the Sikh teachings are sacred. They come from ancient times. They're not new. And they come really from source, you could say. Those that brought them through as pure as possible. And to honor that in itself, the gratitude and the right mindset is very helpful. It also gives you value, and it honors you and what you do. And that's very powerful. We often see sometimes, you know, just to do an analogy, we see teenagers kind of wasting their lives trying toxic things or whatever they do, while the parents have given everything, life, blood, sweat, to raise that child, and then that child sort of is kind of careless with itself, with the body, with the things, and can't see, does not understand the value of it, where it came from. So kind of a little bit like this. The teachings are not generic. They're based on very deep ancient old classic methods and knowledge, and they have to be treated that way as well. In the power module that we're in right now, it is about energy, about not wasting energy, about gaining energy, storing, etc. And because if you're tired and exhausted, then, well, there's no energy to meditate and you don't have the energy to shift your attention to higher, more luminous states of mind. Because your mind has opaqueness, you know, coloredness, where it's very dense and dark, and everything you see is kind of pessimistic and negative, or you shift your attention to higher states of mind that is more luminous and looks more beautiful and gives you an experience of bliss and contentment. In order to do that, you have to have energy. If you don't, it's not quite possible. This is not a Christmas season, so I know many of you also do Christmas or are taking time with family. And although families are supposed to love each other and in that place of bonding and home, most often what I notice or what I've sort of observed around me with people, they go through a time of incredible stress and often trauma during Christmas, because it just triggers everything. And so watch out for, you know, losing your energy, because most of the energy that gets lost is in relationship with others, be it with your partner or with family members. That's where most of the energy gets drained off. And so learn to be neutral, to be process and let it go. Be quicker now. Just shift into your core. Don't make it so complicated. You know, we talk about time is running out. It's really something that should be done in an instant. Just when you sit down, you shift into meditation. This is what you practice. You sit down, you shift out. You go inwards. Like just when you go to sleep, you lie down, you let go, and you go to sleep. You sit down and you shift into meditation. Or when you are about out and about in the world, you shift out of a drama with somebody. So learn to be masterful, and that will accumulate more energy for you. It also, you know, maintains your health and so forth. So maybe we can find some things that we need to kind of go over. And I please invite always the very quiet people that never say a word on the call to take the time and to speak to me and to put themselves out, because if you're hiding, it's who is hiding. These are all egoic programs that eventually have to go anyway. So look at what's happening within you and know that this is just something that we can put to rest and we can settle together. So I want to take the first hand, and that's Antonia. Hi, Antonia.
Hello.
Hi. How are you? Do you have?
I am doing very good.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I don't have a question, but I do have a comment.
Okay.
I want to thank you very much for the phone call we had last week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people liked it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I just didn't like it. I love it. The next day, I was very tired, but joyful, very joyful.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is really good. I just wanted to check in with you and, of course, hear your voice, be with you. That's all.
Yeah. So basically, the call, I think what the call did is also assist sort of to shift some of that fear away, right? And to just see that we're part of something that I said to Jason yesterday, we're like, you know, like in a card deck, we're the Joker. We're the one that is the zero, because the Joker is like a zero, is an emptiness. And so the world has its trajectory and it wants to do its thing. And then we're this like field of nobody knows what's going to happen because this field is engaging with the whole trajectory, right?
But, you know, I have no fear whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I have, like, no problem. Everything is good. Everything is perfect. Whatever is what it is. It's just, I listened it for probably over 15 times.
Oh, okay.
And every time that I still listen, I was just listening this morning.
Oh.
Something that it didn't click. I'm still, soaking everything. It was so much, but it was so beautiful.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Thank
I just want to thank you, I don't know how many times, because it was beautiful.
Thank you. Thanks, Antonia. Thank you very much. Yes. Okay, great.
Okay,
thank you. So this is great. This is John. Hi, John. How are you? Nice to hear you.
Hi, Aratana. Is the audio good for you on this?
Oh, it's very good. I can hear very well. Yeah, thank you.
Great. I've been going over module one, and there's a thing you mentioned about the course in total. If you master nothing else but this, moving into the core, identifying with the core, that would be a great takeaway. And I noticed when I was meditating this morning, I actually caught myself taking the body idea, me as the body, even though I was looking internally, I was still looking as if I was the physical body looking inside the physical body. It was absolutely mad. Then I sort of found myself, as it were, realizing that this was arising in consciousness and that was really the point and you know, get real here. But this strange, the intensity with which I appear to identify with this body and cling to it is, it became very apparent in that paradox. And I want to get the core identification sorted, because as you point out, once it's sorted, then, you know, in a sense, it's illusory. You then go on to what's next. But after 4 months, I would like to get a sense of, you know, how much of this work I've actually managed to successfully accomplish. And I know you can sense things because there's no separation. So do you have a sense of this at all with me?
Well, I'm kind of chuckling a little bit here. This is a very common question. Men like to ask that question because it has something to do with measuring, right? Right?
Yeah.
And let me give you like a real guru answer, yeah?
Okay, I'm ready for it.
So there's either, you know, I always say there's only death or it's life, you're pregnant or not. So all or nothing. So there's nothing accomplished, because you see that fear that you described, that identification with the body is actually a mortal fear. It's so intense, and everybody has to move through that in some way, where it is utter fright and panic. Think of Ramana Maharshi when he was a teenager, and he suddenly was overcome with this fear of death, and then so he allowed himself to go into that. And but you see, this is what keeps people unenlightened. It's because we manage and cope, and we have a sense of going somewhere and accomplishing something on the way. But you see, you're not going anywhere because it's all illusory, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's
so
convincing.
So really, what do we do from here now? It's basically be sort of warmly open and receptive to that, noticing this identification and noticing the restriction, noticing the you're going to, this is where you pay more attention in your meditation to the mechanics of maneuvering and manipulations that go on from the identity. So when you sit in meditation, you're basically noticing, oh, you want to know something now, or you're trying to get somewhere, or you are realizing, oh my God, there's this identification, and then you notice how do you respond to it, and then that's when you basically level yourself up, and you just bring in the receptivity or the detachment, or you shift out of it or something. So it's that kind of minute, tiny work, because you're going deeper. It's like, you know, think of a funnel. You're going deeper and deeper into a space that is very, very difficult for the mind to follow into, because it's not used to be so fine and so, the perception is not so acute. This is why we need a lot of quiet time, so that our perception begins like a microscope to kind of zoom in more and more into these tiny, like really looking at the bottom, at the root of the mechanics of what we do in order to keep ourselves unconscious and unenlightened.
Yeah, my God, that's good at it as well. the unconscious bit.
But you know, and that would be a very a particular approach, like a Jnana approach. You know, if you know, and that's why I'm answering you in that way. But you know, for some others, they don't feel like that's the way they want to do it. They just kind of just chant a mantra and just kind of breathe, and then it kind of somehow shifts, right? It's all.
Yeah.
All different, right? So, but if you are very active in your with your mind, then just use your mind to take the mind out.
Yeah, that's great. And I've been trying to make sure that I do even distributions of all three points.
Mm-hmm.
But what I do is I settle and find out where my attention wants to go that time.
Yes.
And And if it's a tricky one, if I'm having a meditation that's sort of a bit distracted or choppy, I might actually just try, okay, well, let's try another point.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's easier, this is okay, is it?
This is absolutely, no, this is very good. Perfect. Yeah, I'm glad you'd, yeah, absolutely. That's what we would do, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. I remain somebody who's concerned about sort of doing it right, but I haven't been listening to that treatment for perfectionism, but I hadn't actually thought I was one. maybe I am.
Well, how are you feeling now after a few months now? You said that your quality of life does quite a lot of changes. So do you find that you can carry more of a contentment into the rest of your life, and you're more at peace in general?
I think this has been absolutely revolutionary for me. I am utterly changed in 4 months. Even I know it. For a start, you know, I wasn't exercising enough, and I have been since then. And there are a couple of things, big, big things, which I never even mentioned to you because you just did it, whatever it was. One was I was very disturbed by something or other for years, and it went. It just
went. Nice.
And that was great. Yeah. And I had lost contact with a proper meditation practice. I'd been on a DIY kick for so long, and I'd made the mistake of thinking I could guru myself. I had gone absolutely nowhere except around in circles. And so my pleasure at receiving what your instruction and I never mentioned that, of course, but you know that when I was a TM trainer, that was the Shankaracharya tradition. And I'm back in the Shankaracharya tradition. I love it.
There you go.
That's awesome. So thank you.
You're
it's
welcome.
Been really great.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for sharing, John. Okay, great. Okay, so we're in Canmore. Hi, Katya.
Hi, Rajima.
Hi.
I don't really have any questions. One thing I've noticed about the exercise, I don't have regular exercise practice, but when I do, I did notice that after that there is so much shifting and you're like in the state of really in a very, very happy state. So I do think that exercising is very important and trying to make it more of a regular schedule if I can or when I can.
Yeah, you know, when you have children like that, they're little, it's like the way I would do it. And, you know, everybody's life is kind of, you know, it's kind of organic. Then it's just like suddenly you're on the floor with the kids for a moment and you just do a couple of sit-ups or something, you know, or you just kind of weave it in. You're in the kitchen and you do three squats or something just to get a little bit of changing your nervous system and also making the circulation and everything move differently. So, you know, it doesn't have to be that big moment at 11 o'clock or something where you're going to exercise half an hour.
I'm usually sitting on the bike trainer and I do exercise for
okay.
30
right.
to 40 minutes. So it is a good sweat, but it is a good workout.
Okay.
But usually, yeah, that is quite late when our kids are in bed and I have a little bit of time.
Yeah. What else is going on with your meditation or with your life? So is everything
Well, the meditation is usually either I do have a busy mind and I'm aware of it, or I just sit there and nothing happens. And I can sit for a long time and I just sit there.
Okay. Okay, good. Well, perfect.
That's about it.
About it.
But I did like your talk about the beginning of this call, so it was very helpful. It's a great reminder.
Okay,
thank you for that.
Oh, good. Okay. All right. Okay.
Thank
good.
You.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Good.
So everybody's very quiet today, so there's no more hands up. So if anybody wants to put a hand up, that's good. All right. We're in Calgary right now. Hi. Hello.
Hi there, Ratima.
Hi. Oh, no. Lots of hands up. Good. Okay.
Yeah, we just needed permission, I guess, or something this morning. Trying to give space for others.
So,
just checking in, just wanting to share a few things and maybe some feedback. And I found the last few weeks I went through that grief thing and then it kind of balanced out for a while. And then I've been experiencing a lot of anger. Mm-hmm. And then the anger was turning into this sense of helplessness, like this inability to move. Observing it most of the time, but also taking a tantric approach to it quite often too, because it does, sometimes I would just jump into it, I guess. Mm-hmm. So my consciousness would just, like I'd feel myself moving into it. And and understanding more and feeling like, yes, a lot of it, again, here it feels like a lot of it, yes, I see at the personal level where that comes from. But I also felt that, there was just no rhyme or reason. It would just show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd have to, sit with it, right?
Well, you just remember that a lot of emotional stuff is coming from the collective, right? Yeah. And so are you aware of that, or do you think it's your own stuff all the time? Or maybe you have a reason to be angry. If you really have a reason to be angry, it's obviously your own stuff, but if you just suddenly you're angry, then check, like, what am I angry about? Do you have anything that you can put your finger on then?
Well, I can always find something to blame someone else. No, it has felt more like the greater consciousness, a lot of it, right, because it does seem to come out. And I have been aware of that quite a bit and work, have been sitting with it, but have also felt, and I know it isn't that I'm being pulled into it, I understand that I'm moving into it, and that part probably is confusing to me why I do that, but I'll feel myself moving into those feelings, and then.
Well, it's a pleasure thing for the mind. It's like a pathway, right? That's open, and you haven't replaced it with something else. So you haven't really. It's like people who are addicted to something. They usually, let's say, they want to stop smoking. They replace that time, that smoking time, with something else. They go for a walk, they doodle, or they call their mother or whatever. You have to basically, because the mind wants to be busy, right?
And totally.
If it still has a, it's on the level where there's rajas, movement, and you can't shift into sattva, where it's just stillness, then you have to give the mind something that's at least pure, be it a mantra, or you just take a few deep breaths, or you have a way of just mentally telling yourself, okay, that's it now, and you put your attention on cleaning the dishes, and you just focus on that, or something. So you have to really use power. You see, here you need energy. So if you're very tired, and you're tired, then you're going to be even more easily going to go down that, because it's easy. It's like if you're sliding down the hill, right, into anger, that's a lower frequency. It's easy to go there.
Exactly.
But, going up where it's the pure above the clouds, that's going to be difficult, right?
So I have been working more with, well, not more, but just very consistently with my mantras and making sure, right? And have found the mind was, until yesterday anyways, was extremely busy. I think this is something we noticed quite a while ago, is that, the denser energy of my body always wants to run away, right, from all of this. And if I, and when I'm sitting through that, then it seems to rise up, and then my mind gets really busy.
Good, and then beautiful. Mm-hmm. That's good. That's you wanted to take it out through the body into the mind. Sometimes goes through emotions and mind, and then out into to the spiritual, and then it moves to the spiritual into nothingness. So you just have to let me tell you about what I did. I mean, there are always phases where there's so much clutter that kind of gets knocked loose. And if it be it yourself or the collective, and then you just have to, most of the day is spent basically trying to get that junk through day after day after day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all you do. I mean, I've been doing this for decades, so this is what you do. You just, all you do, you know, at some point it shifted from I had a life and I did spiritual practice to I only do spiritual practice and I have a little bit of a life, right? No life, I only do spiritual practice.
Oh, actually, that totally makes sense, because it does feel like I'm just taking out the junk all the time, right?
That's why there's this secondary word calling light workers. There's so much junk, and so the more you do, the easier the transition will be for all of us. So I would say, but what else is there to do? Right now it's just work. I mean, karma means work, right? Mm-hmm. So we get to work. If it's your true work, then it's a dharma, but it's still work. You have a body, and Yogi Bhajan, for Kundalini Yoga, he said very clearly, I never studied with him, but I understand Kundalini Yoga and read about him. He said that the Kundalini Yoga, the way he offered it, was in order to create a very strong nervous system for the Aquarian age. Because he knew, he said that he did all these practices and introduced all these very intense practices that are very, very, like, they're hard. I mean, if you've ever done some real Kundalini Yoga, then that you had to have you turn your nerves into steel, and that's what's required for the times that we're going through, right?
Okay, so it's a good thing.
Yes. Easily.
That might explain then, yesterday because I had such an active mind, and then I was going into this helplessness of even being able to stay meditating. And then I just got gentle on myself about it. And then yesterday was able to really, I was experiencing this beautiful meditation anyways. It was a great experience. And there was a lot of tears and release, but I was totally not involved with it at all. It felt like there was just zero involvement. In fact, there was laughter with the tears through the whole meditation, and it didn't, I just didn't matter. And when I finished the meditation, I got up and I went into my office where I'd been and just started going through boxes. So what you were talking about getting rid of the trash, I got rid of probably 90% of what I went through. It was just gone. Right. And that felt, and then there was just this lightning. And so it felt like this physical expression of what you're talking about, of taking out the garbage, maybe. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Okay. Okay, thanks.
Oh, good. Thanks.
I'll keep working.
That's right. Yeah. This is Rosemary. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Ratima.
Hi.
Thanks for mentioning the exercise. I don't know why I need to push in that direction, but I definitely do.
Hmm.
It's like it should be normal. So.
Yeah. Well, there's emotions in the body. People don't exercise because they have hidden emotions, they don't want to feel them. It's really difficult because whenever you push yourself through that discomfort, it triggers everything, the nerves. It's like, oh no, and then everything that is in your deeper inner child, all the stuff mom yelled at you, whatever, is all coming up, and you don't know that it's that, but it just feels exactly the same.
So when you're pushing through, like, your muscles are really sore and things like that, or not sore, but hurt, is that when you're pushing through? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
When you're trying to push through that?
Yeah, if you're trying to strengthen your muscles, you or whatever, because it's not just the muscles, it's the nervous system together with the muscles.
Okay.
they work together in your brain, and they have to do something together that is very challenging. We all know that physical exercise develops the brain more and makes kids smarter than actually just learning from books, because it's just how the nerves fire with the whole skeleton and the muscles together to keep it all. It needs a high level of intelligence, right? Some people are very clumsy, and because their nervous system is just, you're unconscious. But the more you become more and more precise, right, more conscious in your body, your ability to control everything at will. And when you can control your body more at will and more, that's what yoga is all about, to become more aware in the body. Then you become more aware of how, when your emotions are, your, like your mind, all of that. That's the basis of yoga, really.
Oh, thank you. That's just a brilliant explanation for me. That's you've just given me you've given me clarity that I need.
Good.
Thank
okay.
you. That's brilliant. I wanted to also mention that module 4. I just want to be with you, by the way.
Yeah.
I just want to connect with you. I have to say, I really miss you when we don't have calls and we haven't had a call.
Oh, yeah, we haven't had it in a while. Oh, good. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I love it, too.
Module 4, I listened to the very first module probably 60, 70 times. I just kept listening to, and I'm not even sure. What I recognized was that it wasn't like I was trying to get something in my mind. And when I realized that, I thought, what's that? Sorry.
Do you want to just absorb it? Because you're aware there's levels in it that you can't linear analytically follow, but you know that you will download it, like that?
Yeah, I would listen to it over and over, and sometimes I'd say, well, why am I listening to this one over and over?
Mm.
And I'd say, I don't know, but there's something here that is really important for me. Mm-hmm. And it just had that sense of that there was an importance, because, I just wanted to, there's something in that my heart that I just wanted to share that with you, because I would listen to it at night. I'd mm-hmm. listen to it over and over again. I'd get in bed and listen to it. It's like, wow, this is like...
Good, you're following your inner knowing. That's good. So, yeah. Yeah, because your soul knows it's somehow working something out, like receiving something, trying to put it into the right place or opening up to it properly.
Yes, yes. And I also wanted to make a quick comment. I never talk about, maybe I don't, maybe I do, but I just on this call, I just wanted to quickly say that, if I can, my life has changed so much because of you and because of WLS, because of every module, every call, every nudge I just experience joy probably and a sense of freedom probably 90% of the time in my life, and that's amazing to me.
Mm,
yeah, I'm noticing life on a level that I have never experienced before. And there's so many ways in which I would really like to thank you, but I just want you to know that even though I don't write about it a whole lot, it's like I'm amazed at what has been sloughed off from my life that I don't need and was causing me pain, and what has been brought into my life, which is, this essence and this connection. And so I'm really...
Beautiful. No, I hear what you're saying, and I know this is true for many people, and sometimes hard to even put into words because it sounds... I completely understand. And that's really... That's what I expect. That's what the purpose of this course is. It has to do that. Otherwise, what's the point, right? It is supposed to be life-changing. It's supposed to wake you up. It's supposed to bring qualities of life into things that you can't even imagine. I mean, that's the magic of doing this work.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it's really amazing. It's magical. Yeah. It's everything. And
I'm glad it is, because it was, I tell you, wherever I went, wherever I spent time with, wherever I went, everything would collapse around me. Like, and it was not easy for me to understand that in the beginning, because I thought I was sort of like walking collie through life and people didn't like me. It's like, it's very strange. Wherever you work over here, then the whole house collapses. There's this happening, that. If you go here, then everything falls apart. You know, it's just constantly like that. You bring bad luck. I'm like, No, I don't bring bad luck. I bring freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More freedom. Right. Yeah, I can see that too. I can see the pushing away and at the same time, you know, I can see just the beauty and, you know. But
thank you. Thanks, Rosemary.
I'm at
your
feet, though. I really am. I'm.
I understand. Thank you. Yeah, just continue to surrender into that true life, and we're all happy. And I have a long list of people here, so I'm going to let you go. Right.
Oh, so sorry.
No worries.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. So this is Jeannie now. So hi, Jeannie. How are you?
Hello. I'm well, and yourself?
Very good. Thank you.
So along the same lines that you were talking with Rosemary, thank you. Mm. Thank you. You've changed my life. I can't even imagine what I was like before. So along the lines of you talking about exercise in the body, the dedication that we, and the commitment that we put ourselves to daily meditate and exercise, along with that mental bringing yourself back, being the neutral observer, all of that to me, has been one of the hardest struggles recently, is that mind, how much wants to come up and how it can circle back, and how I have to really try and focus. But I would almost liken it to daily exercise. It's just like having to really, it's amazing to me how deep it went and what it brought up. And it's been a good thing. It's been great. And I love it that how you can shift us back. So many things I'm so grateful for. So
thank you. You know, you don't have to exercise every day. I mean, I usually do at least 6 days a week. I do something. But if you do it 3 times a week, I mean, if it's two, you know, then do something, you know, that's really an exercise 3-4 times a week. But, you know, and then you do a little bit of stretching maybe or something else, or go for a walk, right? So if you, that would be really good, because, you know, when you stretch, you really help the nerves, especially if you, you know, called life nerve stretch, talking about Yogi Bhajan and Kundalini Yoga. If you stretch basically, the back side of your leg, the hamstrings, that's the biggest nerve in your body, the sciatica nerve. And that in itself, to keep that always stretched out, it helps against fear and the contraction that we always go through. That's what you want to stretch, so your nervous system works with you when you meditate, right? Otherwise, you're going to have all that movement in meditation, because your nervous system is just so loaded with, let's call it just stress. And then, now I'm totally lost my thought. Where did I go? And then just, you know, the other thing is just basically pushing the emotional and the mental by like what I said to Rosemary, just using the muscles and all that. But, and in regards to what you said, you know, it's this exercise of constantly bringing the mind back. You know, it's like the monkey mind, restraining it over and over again, trying to really rein it in, and it's just not listening, and you're trying to really tame it. And that is that's basically the yogic approach, the more masculine approach, but we need that as well. And then the feminine approach is to feel into it, to go with it, like the tantra, you go into it. But if you don't have a stable point, you don't cultivate the masculine within yourself, that silent point, that detachment, then if you go into your drama, you can't get out, you know. You probably know people that are just so absorbed in their drama, they have no still point. So both are very important. And in a world that goes through so much movement, and will go through more movement, more chaos, well, you need to be like a mountain, literally. I think that's why my husband always uses the word mountain in his videos. To be still like a mountain, unmoving. Don't let yourself be disturbed by anything. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Thanks for giving me that opportunity to mention that. So this is Ruth Ann. Hi, Ruth Ann.
Hi, Rocky Mom.
Hi. Yeah, we haven't spoken in a while.
Oh, good. I didn't want to take somebody else's turn. I wanted to talk about what you were talking about in the beginning, this getting busier and trying to stay in the core as you get busier.
Uh-huh.
I seem to, in the last month, have a lot more energy, and I have a little job. Once a week, I do flowers for a restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was so separated from my family, and a lot of that is healed, so I have more relationships. And so it is like that. It's like every, you know, maybe 1 second and then 5 seconds, it's like, come back to home, you know. Because I'm planning something because I can now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's more people in my life and I have more energy. But
nice.
I can't stand planning I'm used to that stillness, and that's causing me a little bit of angst wanting to have that stillness.
No, I like it. No, I think this is beautiful. You're in a good place. You're now, your job is to take that stillness into the movement. It's easy to be still. Yeah, it's easy to be still on top of the mountain, but you go in a city and then all this movement, and that's perfect. So now you practice. Maybe you want to up your meditation. If it's already long, that's fine. But let's say if you have a shorter meditation of half an hour, then go up to a little bit longer. Maybe do it, do a little bit more mantra here or there, or whatever you do in order to basically get that stillness so that you remain still even when everything is very busy around you.
Okay, so just work through those rocky times and stay with it.
Yeah.
Back off.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
I love it. Thank you. Yeah. Good. That's very good. This is Karen. Hi, Karen.
Oh, hi, Ratma.
Hi.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask about the monkey mind. I was just thinking about... like last night I was paying bills and I noticed that there was some charges, like it was like a scheme thing when I called the credit card company. And so I noticed emotions, you know, like beating myself up. I knew better. I shouldn't have, initiated this. And I actually had some time where I could watch my mind and the thoughts and the feelings. And sometimes, you know, I just wonder sometimes when it's the ego eye that is trying to, monitor the moment or change the moment as opposed to feel the feelings and let them go.
Not quite sure. Can you say that again?
Well,
what question?
Yeah, I was feeling some feelings of overwhelm, like, now this credit card, my credit card, I didn't know if I should cancel it and, you know, what's going to go on from here. And so...
You just let it pass through. If you feel like something like that's happening, you let it pass through, because you also, like I said, you're trying to make a decision and you're going to be... You can't make a decision while you're in the middle of a storm. So you let that pass through. You feel your feelings. You're aware that you're experiencing something. And then, you know, when you take a deep breath, and then you just kind of see what is the next step.
Okay.
But there was another question, though? Or is...
Yeah, I guess it's just kind of like the overall feeling of... clearing out the clutter with the house renovations going on that we're going through, like I just noticed, so physically and emotionally and mentally, when the clutter comes, the keeping on, keeping on through it, and remaining in the core without trying to make it go away.
Yes, yes. Okay, good. It's pretty much what Ruth Ann just said. You're busy, you're immersed in life, and you're going to notice movement, and you're going to notice your emotional body is moving and rocking, and your mind is moving around, and more thoughts, and you feel your energetic system is responding. So, but in all of that, there's you, which is pure awareness. You're aware of all of this, and that's your home. And your home is undisturbed with all this movement. So you come to a place of surrender, and where it doesn't matter. Remember, the sky doesn't care if whatever flies through it, because it doesn't change the sky. So all of this, so inside, and I'm touching it right now, and also for the whole group, inside everyone is the it's this confusion that you are what John said, the body, you are this, what you are experiencing, and you're not. This is the confusion. You're not. You've never been. You're always awareness. And in this moment, as we're talking about, it's not about to learn about it. It's not a, you haven't heard it for the first time. You always hear it. It's that in this moment, again, you are realizing it even more. And so then when you are going about the busyness of life and things move and shift in your body, which is uncomfortable, only to you, when you are tied up as consciousness with the surface bodies. But if you're not tied up and you identify just as you, as pure awareness, then it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's just so nice to bask in that light.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So this is really, this is again the moment that what this whole course is about. What does it mean to wake up, to self-realize, to realize you are the self, not to realize you are an emotion or a thought or that you're going somewhere. The mind is being used to remove the mind. So this whole course is all mind in order to remove the mind. This whole course is not to achieve a goal of realization. It's a self-destruct program for the mind. It's literally, you can think of every MP3 you listen or every module you open as a button you push in order to basically destroy the programming of the mind. So that's why we do it over and over and over and over again. It's not that we learn something, we unlearn.
Thank you. Thank
you're welcome. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So this is Louise. Hi, Louise.
Hi, Aratima. I love that this course is a self-destruct course.
You know, I never said it this way, but it was appropriate. Bomb, right? So ding, poof.
Awesome. I have a question for you, because I've gotten, you know, pretty comfortable about things moving through and clearing, and I guess I just have a question to make sure that I don't have any resistance to some of the stuff that's happening in the body. I mean, it's all good. Like, all of a sudden my blood pressure's getting lower, right? I'm getting rid of meds and stuff because it's too low. But what's been going on like the last 4 days, and it actually feels like like something else is coming online in my head, right? Like, I mean, I felt rewiring before, but this was huge. In the last 4 days, it just caused a lot of pressure and stuff, and most of that's gone now, but there's a bit like over my right eye. So I just wanted to check in if I'm resisting or, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Well, to the question, am I resisting? Body is resistance itself, right? You are actually experiencing resistance. If you don't have a sense of I anymore, then there is nobody resisting. It's just that the body embodiment is resistance itself, and you are aware of it.
Yeah?
So I'll be just quiet if you just, I'll just kind of connect with you and just see if we can move something through. So the first thing I would say is just give commands to your body and just say that blood pressure is not supposed to be normal, so you expect it to be 120 to 80 to continue in that way. Because the body, the embodiment is going through a real, it's becoming more and more spacious, so things go a little bit out of whack at times. I noticed that I would... My skin color changes from day to day. It's really interesting. Like, I'm looking in the mirror yesterday and I'm more reddish and more, I get sometimes more of a bronze tone. Today I look more white. And then it kind of changes all over the place. And I feel great today, but I definitely have a different skin color. So, like, it's like, you know, so it's like who do I become, right? So, so, you know, but you just want to allow the body. The body's quite smart, but you are, I think there's a certain amount of, you know, if you're always in deep samadhi, you know, that would be different. But as we're engaging, we kind of need to constantly fine-tune. And because your core is much large, is very large, more stuff will run through you, right? And the more, it's like you eat more bad energies, you could say. And the more you eat, the more you have to digest, the more things go out of whack. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yes, no, completely. And this actually felt like there was like some type of an expansion going on or some type of a new skill or something coming in. Like it felt very like technical, like blipping in and out type of thing. So that's just then similar that the body, because it feels so expansive, like it feels like pressure, right? That so just command the body to, it's capable of expanding.
Let me make it even easier, and this might be interesting for others. Everything is mind. Your body's mind as well. And when you feel there are sort of mind aspects or higher intelligence coming, it has sort of an electrical charge, right? And so the mind has a, the mind is you could say it is the resistance, because it's the body is the unconscious aspect of mind. It is resistance itself. It's contracted, so it is in itself resistant. So basically, you can do some self-talk, or you just say, no, it's already happened. It already happened. It's already my nature. What I would do is I would just go back all the way back to source, and I just say, well, I am everything. There's nothing to do. So I'm not going to buy into the dramas of the mind that says, oh, we're doing this right now. Like, no, that's just part of the dream, right? Like, I'm engaging that. So I take total detachment. I go totally into detachment.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe that helps you too. Yeah. So much stuff. So this is Deb. Hi, Deb.
Hey, Aradhana.
Hi.
Hey. So so a couple of things. One, like Louise, I love the thing about the mind, destroying the mind in this course, because it's just so perfect. And the other thing is, just like Antonia, I wanted to thank you so much for that call, because, as you know, fear and worry have been such a part of my life since I can remember. And I noticed as the call was going or during the call, it wasn't there anymore. And it's permeated the rest of my life. And I'm... like you were talking about the Joker, you know, I just feel that, but I'm kind of excited about what's going to be happening in the next couple of years as, you know, as a part of being able to, you know, sort of move through that as that point And anyway, yeah. I just wanted to thank you for that.
Thank you.
What a huge difference in my life.
Yeah, I can feel it. Yeah, the energy, it was very distinct and it definitely, I think I was able to open up, or we were able to open up that which we really want to experience and kind of sort of collectively kind of put it into place or something.
Yeah, right. Yeah, just kind of like wobbling, and then all of a sudden it just like came to that equilibrium spot of just being.
Yeah,
it was beautiful. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just things are going really well in terms of, we talked about going to the coast, the Oregon coast for solstice, and everything just sort of came into place. And so we're leaving on Thursday and coming back Saturday night. And so that'll just be really wonderful to be around the ocean. And just lots of things. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. You had another question, you said? You had two questions?
Just two comments.
Just two comments.
About
okay.
The mind and then the loss of
great
more
No, thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, enjoy the beautiful coast because it's gorgeous there.
It's going to be, and Friday's the only day it's not going to rain there, so it's going to be wonderful. So
okay.
So and
thank
just, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you. Definitely.
Thanks, Deb. Thanks. And this is Nola. Hi, Nola.
Hi. Hi.
Hey.
Thanks for reaching out today.
Yeah.
Like you were talking to me. I was like, oh boy. And at first I was listening to you on the computer. I know I'm wasting time with this. And I went, okay, my first step was to change it to a phone call. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah. Just before the call I went, Nola, what are you doing? What are you doing here? What are you doing?
You're giving us a little pep talk, yeah.
you felt, very clear about, participating and joining up again. And I know that felt right. I haven't changed my mind. So, my block, one of the thoughts I had to ask you, because chanting has always worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is if there was a chant that might help unblock me or lead me into the meditations, if I could set something up to do a chant regularly, I might step in. I mean, the irony is that I can fall kind of deep into an altered state very easily, but I'm not practicing. I've been struggling to practice any form of meditation, and the most thing I've come up with is which isn't really meditation, what I should be doing, I don't think, but it's the best I can do right now is to do a global meditation of healing in the world. That just feels
like with other people, with a group, you mean?
No, I just do it.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
No, instead of meditating and going, I just meditate and imagine holding the world and just offering healing.
Yeah, you can do that. That's
light. I've been able to do that.
Yeah, you can do that, but that's healing.
That's not what I should be doing. That's what I just wanted to let you know what I am doing.
Yeah, if you did it like this way, which is a because you're engaging in duality, which is something that you're trying to transcend. Now, with that said, it is a very feminine approach, which means is, let's say you are sending light to the globe. I've done lots of light stuff years ago, global world meditations, and you basically, as you're doing this, you shift out of you sending into your just being light, and you shift further into that you and the world are not separate anymore, and then you basically shift into just you're just here, then you come to the same place. It's a different approach, right? But you have to be really, you can't let any part of your ego hijack the process.
I don't think it does. It's not for the intention. It's, if anything, I feel, to be honest with you, I feel more like I'm exploiting it because it gets me to the place of oneness.
Well, you are the whole world, right?
I know, but it helps me get there.
Exactly. So you basically are, you must have done practices before where you go into an expansion. And that's not unusual because that's something we did in the retreat here in this year, where basically we use the light to expand into infinity, and then you basically come to the same place. So this is a more of a feminine approach.
Okay.
And so you can do that, and beautiful. Do you do that every day?
I've been starting, it sounds like I've missed a fear thing you did, which I'm sad about. Maybe was there a fear meditation last week? It's been kind of helping me to wake up and be where I want to be in the world. I have been doing it in the morning. I've been kind of doing it every day, not as long as I think I should.
I didn't do a fear meditation. We talked about the gift call. Was that, were you on it?
Okay. I haven't had a chance to listen to it. I've been kind of running around, and I don't know, somehow when you spoke, that kind of, my heart got connected.
Let me say something about the light expansion. You see, nobody can get away from meeting the fear of death. So what will happen if you use light expansions in that way? You're really working with Kundalini Shakti. And when you do that, you will at some point, you know how the Shakti can become, I have intense Shakti, and it has sometimes hit me so strongly, it's extremely scary. So you will also have to meet these kinds of moments when your identification or your boundaries are being threatened, because you're constantly transcending them to go into infinity. Your mind is at some point saying, okay, that's very nice, it's very pleasant, but at some point the mind, you know, the egoic structure says, that's it, that's enough, I can't go any further, and then
right.
You have to still go further, and that's when it gets real, you know.
Right, and that's what I don't know how to do, because it's like I find with the core meditation, I do it kind of quickly because I just want to jump in. I love the 360, and then you're just in infinity.
Mm.
And I just jump in there, but I think there's something missing. Like you're saying, I'm still holding the duality and not really stepping in.
Yeah, exactly. You have to, if you are doing this in, you see, the key to get past these limitations is to do this regularly. And every day, and be very dispassionate about it. You just do it like brushing your teeth. So you keep doing it. You keep doing it. If you just kind of like a drop hitting a rock, it just wears it down, and it just penetrates through all these layers of the rock. And in some way, you're going to come to moments where it feels a little bit more challenging. And if there isn't a challenge, you're not really, there's no progress. You see what I'm saying?
Right. And I feel like I need a challenge. Yeah. And that's, there does need to be a challenge. Is there a chant that you think would be right for me to be doing? I know they always, or is that just another way for me to leave?
There are Shakti mantras that you can use in order to activate more Shakti, because you're really using light and Shakti. There are different kinds. So I would have to kind of contemplate that a little bit. I mean, this is not a particular Shakti mantra, but that's one that helps you to balance out and make it a little easier to when you work with Shakti, which is the Namo Namo Ganeshaya Vigneshaya Namo Namaha Vinayakaya Vitubhyam Vikritaya Namo Namaha. You remember? I sang it a few times sometimes. Do you remember that one?
Can you write that out on Facebook or something? So that
I can do that, yeah.
That would be good, because I feel like I was told to ask you that really clearly.
Yeah. No, that's, I'm glad you did, you know.
I did.
I'm glad you did. If there's something else that comes to me, I'll let you know. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's good. Yeah, there is a way out that takes us in, and there's a way in that takes us out. Both are really the same thing. So this is Kathleen. Hi, Kathleen.
Hi. Hi, everyone. I didn't think I had anything to say, but I guess I do. Yesterday, all last week, was kind of an internal week. I guess I would describe it as such, where I had a lot of things that I was doing here at home and here a lot and focusing on that, fitting in time for myself in between. And so the last couple of days I've had some errands. And yesterday I've been wondering about this situation where I'm not really hungry, where I'm not feeling like I want to eat anything, and it doesn't sound good, it doesn't taste good. Just kind of, that's been going on and off, I would say, for a couple of months. But I was really thinking about it yesterday. So when I had to run in last night and do a couple of errands, I thought, okay, well, I'll just treat myself and find something that sounds really good. And so it really took a lot of work, but finally I found some food. And all of a sudden, when I was waiting for the food, I realized that I had made some kind of shift from, I don't know if I can describe this, but knowing awareness to actually being in the awareness. And where I started to eat and I felt like it wasn't just me eating, that was everything eating. And, the people that were coming in and out, it was kind of a real surreal experience. I tried to stay real grounded in it just to understand what was going on with my own awareness. But the whole evening continued like that. It was a crystal clear evening, full of stars, and all the waters on the lakes were calm, and it was sort of like being cradled, but cradled right in the awareness. And then as I was having something to drink a little bit later, I could feel everyone that was able to drink or not able to drink. It was just a very, very interesting experience, but it turned into this night of just full gratitude for everything. And I think I hear a lot of that today, that we all have a lot of gratitude. And this period working up to the solstice has always been kind of a real sacred time for me. Because a lot of things start coming up, and that they're coming up to clear. And I just, it's kind of interesting because even though it's challenging, I really love working toward that light, so to speak. And I, too, am planning a little bit of time away just to have real quiet during that period. But this year, because of the program and because of, the changes that have been happening, what I'm finding, I always experience a lot of physical things still, but it's sort of like this beautiful host, if you will, which I liken to the core, where, it's just, I'm just so anchored in that, and it's making the whole process completely different, and I'm really, really enjoying it.
Good. Did you say beautiful host, or what was the word?
No, a post. P.
A post. Okay.
Like it feels like it. It's sort of that's just an imagery, but it's sort of like, I'm forgetting who brought it up today, but just always this return to a center. And I think it is very true that as that core is expanding, there, I think like you described to Louise, that we're just sort of absorbing, eating up more, processing it through. I can really feel that process or an awareness of that process, but it's always just returning there. And it's making, I thought I understood it before.
It's just the
understanding of it is just so expanded, and the awareness of everything is so expanded. And I just, like, I almost didn't want to pull back in the driveway. I felt like I was just on this complete journey of gratitude about everything that had happened, everything that was happening, everything else in the world and the universe. So
you had a spiritual experience, right? This is the description of the typical spiritual experience, which is very beautiful when your mind is suddenly reconfiguring quite differently, and it creates this typical, like I said, the sense of timelessness, pleasantness, new depth of understanding. It starts reflecting differently in the context of the whole, of everything you know. And then it will fade away, but you are slightly reconfigured. And
yes, I'm very, very aware of that. Mm-hmm. And
thanks for sharing that.
It's just like all of a sudden, you know, in the midst of kind of staying with the track here, it's just there. And it's really beautiful. I'll take it as much as it'll stay around.
Yeah, thank you. Yes. Enjoy
thank
it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you
for sharing that, Kathy. Okay, good. So we're no more hands. So let's just kind of come here together again. And just for a moment, knowing that we're that, and be it a sense of detaching from everything we know, or merging with everything we know, either the yoga or the tantra, knowing that both have their purpose and it's an experience, both are experiences, the journey is an experience. And we are compassionately, lovingly engaging in that journey, living, knowing that we are all of it, and none of it. And I'll just chant that one mantra again. And that's the mantra that makes the journey easier when there's obstacles on the path of Shakti in the physical form. Namo Namo Ganeshaya Vigneshaya Namo Namaha Vinayakaya Vetuvyam Vikretaya Namo Namaha. So what you can do is there are different ways of chanting mantras. And this one I like to sing a little bit. And it can be sung, you can clap your hands. If you clap your hands, you create a bit more Shakti, right? You can make it more like a kirtan, a little bit more active if you have a lot of energy. Or you can do it very slowly. And it takes you into sort of a deeper state. So I'm just going to shift it and you might find the difference. Namo, Namo, Ganeshaya, Vikreshaya, Namo, Namaha. Vinayakaya Vikritaya. And now that I'm saying it slowly, I can't remember it. Vinayakaya Vetuvyam Vikretaya sure I messed it up a little bit right now, but you can sense that it just kind of takes you a little bit into a different experience. So whatever works for you, you can slow down the mantra more into a meditative way, or you can do it more in a party way. You can do it silently, going deeper silently, or loud, and they all have a different effect. The mechanic of the mantra is still the same. Each mantra has a particular way of how it interacts with your mind. So, Namo Namo Ganeshaya Vikreshaya Namo Namaha Vinayakaya Vituvyam Vikretaya Namo Namaha. Om. 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 So thank you. Have a wonderful year end. Have a wonderful Christmas holidays. And during the solstice, just allow yourself to receive that silence. Slip through the doorway into the self. Forget everything. Forget all purpose, timelines, whatever it is. Just slip through it. Be the stillness. Be that which you already are. Allow it yourself to completely surrender yourself to it, so it completely imprints your mind. And then in that way, your body, your embodiment, you're receiving everything you need to receive. Your intuition will get stronger, trusting that you will move through next year in ways that is much more real and less dictated by the past or by assumptions and projections into the future. So thank you again, and namaste.
The moderator has left the conference.